So funny how things go. A few weeks ago, I was listening to a shiur, I think, on Wahyu Torah, and someone quoted a beautiful idea by Rabbi Lam on Parshas Yisro. So I made myself a mental note. It was something that I was going to look at, and I read it. It was a great article, but I don't know, for whatever reason, I didn't think it was going to turn into a good chabura. So in the end, I read the article after it, and I was like, wow, I think this could work. So it's a little bit, I know we're at that point. Excuse me. We're at that point where the stories of the Torah end, and now we get into more technical Torah. So that said, we're going to attempt to do a an analysis of the fifth commandment, Kibud Av Va'Em. Obviously, it is it's pretty famous, right? Most religions, most societies, most cultures place great emphasis on the idea of honoring one's parents. Probably at some point in everybody's life, they either hear it from their parents or they say it to their children or both, where like they make that declaration that this is something that, one is obligated to do. It is it's in the middle of the commandments, obviously, which we'll get to in a little bit. And yet, ironically, it is historically a complicated mitzvah. Yechezkel says that in the times of Sdom, the idea and the notion of Kibud Av Va'Em and the idea of old people having value to society really didn't matter. Old people were viewed as it's an extra mouth to feed. What do you really contribute to society? And so it certainly was trampled upon. And then in the times of the Gemara, it flipped the other way. The Gemara talks about creating laws that required parents to take care of their children up until they're 13 years old. I saw that in the Kehati Mishnayos, and I came home. I was like, I gotta show this to my kids. Like, everybody thinks, oh my gosh, we have it so rough. Like at 13 years old, it's like, see a kid, you figure it out, but at least we covered you until then. So it seems to be that there is this like there's this divide, excuse me, amongst Kibud Av Va'Em, that for some times the parents had no value, and for other times children had no value. And so I guess I'd like to try to explore Kibud Av Va'Em just a little bit. Over the course of our time. Yeah.
Just a quick question. Is there a distinction? I think there is between Kibud Av Va'Em, your parents, and older people. It's a canon, if you will. Not the same necessarily.
Correct. So I think that probably in general, I mean, we certainly see in our time, we're not where the Gemara was, where we have to worry about children being cared for. But we live in a time where it's the exact opposite. The value of parents have gone down significantly. The children reign supreme. I mean, in my years of teaching, I certainly saw an evolution of like the parent-child dynamic. But I would say that like by the end of my teaching time, the kids were far more in control of things than the parents were. Although I think like the funny part is, I as much as it changed, it probably wasn't that different, except the parents who are far less in control are defensive about it for about a minute. They're like, no, we run everything in our house. And then you hear the kids screaming in the background, no, it's not true, you don't do anything. So yeah, maybe Yechezkel is talking about in broader strokes about older people. Although Kibud Av Va'Em, it's like fascinating. The et, kabed et avicha ve'et imecha, has come to include your older brother. It's come to include older people, your teachers. So I think that it does kind of add on a little bit. But yeah, good point that in general, Kibud Av Va'Em is a little bit different than and taking care and respecting older people. Okay, so let's take a look at the first source. So respect your father and your mother in order so that you will live a long life upon the earth that God has given you. So it's interesting that we get this reward of Leman yarichun yamecha ala adama. You get arichun yamim. Sorry. It's not you guys, I promise. Right, that we get arichat yamim for kibud av v'eim. Why is that the case? So we'll hold on to that for just a little bit. And then right afterwards, we have lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignov, lo taneb re'echa yitzhaker. So it is also interesting that Pasuk Yud Gimel has 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 words and covers 4 dibrot. And Pasuk Yud Bet has probably around the same, if not more, and it has 1 dibrot. And it seems to be that the first 5 are much more lengthy, and the last, well, at least 6 through 9 are much shorter. So just trying to understand a little bit about the dibrot. Okay, so, yeah, David, you have something to say? Can't tell.
Seems yeah, okay. It's just because the way, I mean, you read the pasuk correctly, obviously. So, and that's clearly the big question, Leman Yerichun Yamechal, why are we getting a reason? And hopefully we'll get into that. But the next 5-6 words, Al Ha'adama, where else, and Asher Hashemah Elohecha Nusilach, this is an awful lot of description about Leman Yerichun, which seems doubling down on superfluous stuff. Like, what? We may not touch on that at all, and that's fine. I'm just like, it just goes on and on and on, and we know every word is meaningful, so.
Yeah, I mean, the irony is that when we talk about Arichot Yamim, so the thought is that it's Arichot Yamim in Olam Haba, not Olam Hazeh. Right? That's the there is the famous Gemara where Elisha ben Abuya sees a kid climbing up a ladder at the behest of his father to do something, and then he falls and dies. And then, you know, Elisha ben Avuya has a crisis of faith, and he turns and says, Ein din vein dayon. It can't be. How could God be a God that's just if on the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Eim, which has the zchus of Arichos Yamim, a kid dies? So it's hard to possibly, you know, come to grips with that. So yeah, I don't have an answer why it says Al Ha'adama, but it's a good question. I will point out, though, the fact that Asher Hashem Lokecha Notein Lach is also, why do we need that at all? Why do we even need the words Hashem Lokecha? Which we will, sorry again, it's going to be a theme tonight, I'm sorry. Which we will address at least just a little bit along the way. Okay, so let's take a look at the Avar Ben El. The Avar Ben El tells us, so the Avar Ben El addresses the elephant in the room. It's probably the question that we're most familiar with on the Aseres HaDibros in general, and specifically Kibud Av V'Eim, right? So the general thinking is that there are two tablets, tablet one, tablet two. Now, obviously, a word standpoint, so tablet one has many, many, many more words than tablet two. Now we don't think about it that way, right? Because all the depictions of the Aseres HaDibros are two words, so it's not a big deal. I grew up, my grandparents lived in Briarwood. So I davened a bit in my childhood at the Young Israel of Briarwood. Not sure if anybody else has any connections, if anybody even stepped into that shul at all. So the Young Israel of Briarwood, which is now a Bukharian shul, had, at the time at least, I have no idea what it looks like now, the Aron HaKodesh looked like the Aseres HaDibros, made of two, I think, stone-looking things that I think went back and forth. But maybe my childhood memories are not so clear. But yeah, you had these like massive Aseres HaDibros, and maybe it was just on the top they had the Aseres HaDibros, I don't know, to like check with my family to see what they remember. But yeah, like in my childhood, it was like, okay, well, the Aseres HaDibros, they match, right? Because Anochi Hashem, Lo Tirtzach, etc., etc. But yeah, so we have two sets of stones, and on each one, they wrote the words, but the general sense was that 1 to 5 go on one of the dibrot, or one of the luchot, and 6 to 10 go on the other one. So the question, though, is how do you categorize them? So it's very clear with the first 4. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, lo yelecha lukim achirim, lo tisat shem Hashem lashav, zachor yom Hashem elokecho. All 4 of those are bin Adam, Lamakom. If I don't believe in God, if I curse God, if I don't keep Shabbos, that's not something that impacts anybody else other than my relationship with God. And then obviously the last five, Lo Tirtzach, Lo Tinaf, Lo Tigno, Lo Tanev, Re'echa Yitzchak, Lo Tachmod, also, those really impact my relationship with man. If I kill someone, it's going to really stink for them. If I commit adultery, if I kidnap, all those things are very much interpersonal. And then the question is, well, what about Kabeit Tavicha V'Timecha? Seemingly, Kabeit Tavicha V'Timecha is Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, it's between me and my parents. And yet, it turns out that it's on the first one. So the Abarbanel points it out, Kfar Yireh Mianu Shehu Mehadvarim Shbein Adam L'Chaveiro. It's something that's between man and his friend. So we're going to, when we look at the Ramban in just a few moments, we'll kind of try to explore that a little bit. But the Abarbanel then goes on to explain, V'nei Yisod HaMitzvah Zot. What is the essence of the mitzvah? Which is always a good thing to understand. Why are we doing mitzvah? V'nei Yisod HaMitzvah Hazot, Hu Kedei Sheyeh Kabbalat Horim Chashuva B'nei Adam. It's important that a person sees his parents as important people, v'yaminba, and you're going to believe them, v'yismoch aleha, and rely on them, k'mo shekatuv, zichor yimot olam, b'inu shenot dor ador, shalavicha v'yagedcha v'yizikinecha v'yomer lach. I guess the idea is that in order to fully accept the Mesorah, that the Torah comes from God and everything comes from God, a person has to recognize that their parents are, a person has to honor and respect their parents. Otherwise, they won't trust or believe or accept anything that their parents do. So that's the yesod of the mitzvah according to the Abarbanel. So we have two questions. The first question is, why is Kavod Avicha V'Imecha on the Bein Adam L'Makom side? And the second question is, what is really the yesod ha-mitzvah? Is it just like the Abarbanel, that the Yisod HaMitzvah is that I accept that God, that I accept the Torah, and I can only accept it as a conduit for my parents if I honor and respect my parents? Or is there perhaps something a little bit more that we could understand in Kibbut Avayim? So if you take a look at the Ibn Ezra says, Kfar Hizkarti ki v'chamisha dvarim harishonim zachar Hashem. So it happens to be that, interesting, he calls them the Chamisha Dvarim, which would mean that he would also call them the Aseret HaDvarim. Most of us call it the Aseret HaDibrot. Unless you went to the Yeshiva of Flatbush, then you would call it the Aseret HaDvarim. And in like the more academic world, because it is probably grammatically correct to be the Aseret HaDvarim, not the Aseret HaDibrot. But nonetheless, I will continue calling it the Aseret HaDibrot, because that's what I'm used to. But it's interesting that the Ibn Ezra calls them the Chamisha Dvarim. So in the, he says that I already mentioned in the first five Dibrot, Zachar Shem, v'sham im kulam, Hashem Elokecha. That if you look at all of the first five Dibrot, you have the words Hashem Elokecha. So I don't know why, but this is probably human nature. You see something like that, and what do you immediately do?
Look it up.
You look it up. Even though he's the Ibn Ezra, and he knows the Torah far better than me, I was like, really? I never noticed that. And then I looked back, and I confirmed that, in fact, it does say Hashem Lokecha by each of the first five Dibrot. And it says it by none of the last five Dibrot. So what is up with that?
It's in different contexts. That's not the, right. I mean, like, with Kibbut Av is, it's kind of the tail end of it, it's just an explanation, and some and parts of it is the, that's the actual, like, core of the commandment, like, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So I guess the words are there in each of them, but it's not like it's the same theme repeated.
Right, no, I agree 100%, so I think that the Sfarno is going to address L'man Yarichun Yamecha in general, and perhaps with that we could answer or understand a little bit. But to me, by the first four Dibrot, I really did understand that the placement of Hashem, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, You want to understand that God is our God and He's Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We view Him as Hashem Elokecha rather than just Hashem or Elokim. It is the totality of who God is. And I think that you could make that argument throughout the first four Dibrot. But it does seem, and this is, you know, yet another question, it seems like Hashem Elokecha is misplaced in Dibra number 5. Right, we really could just be, if it had just said Kavedet Avicha V'Imecha, period, I think we would all be content with that statement. And if it had said Kavedet Avicha V'Imecha L'man Yarichun Yamecha, I think we'd also be okay with it. And even Al Ha'adama, we don't need Asher Shem L'Kecha Noten Lach, right? So yeah, so that I think that's a good question to try to wonder. I'm not sure we have a good answer, but it's definitely a good question. Okay, let's take a look at the Ramban. The Ramban says, "Kabed avicha hine hishlim kol mashanu chayavim b'divrei abore batzmo ubichvodo." So, kabed avicha, this dibra kind of after concluding everything that we need to do vis-a-vis God, v'chazar l'tzavot otanu b'nyanei hanivraim. We then begin to deal with people. So he says, "V'tchil mina av shulu told otav kinyan bore mishtatev biyitzira." So we start our exploration of dealing with human beings, with people, with God. I'm sorry, with our parents, because God, our parents are partners with God in creation. Kashem avinu arishon, God is our first father. V'amolid avinu acharon, and the one that births us is our last father. V'kach amar b'mishnah Torah kasher tziviticha b'chvodi kein anochi mitzavcha b'chvod hamishtativ v'mitziratcha. And therefore, just as we're commanded to respect and to honor God, we are also commanded to respect our parents. So essentially, the Ramban does answer a lot of our questions. Why is it Bein Adam? Why is it on the Bein Adam L'Makom side? Because our parents are on the same playing field on some level as God, since they are partners, and therefore, we have to respect God. And what's the Yesod? So, if the expression is cleanliness is next to godliness, so you could play around with, you know, some of that expression. So basically saying, you know, parenting is also next to godliness. And the same way we have, to respect God, we have to respect our parents. I think I might have shared this before, so if I did, I apologize. But a fascinating way to understand the idea that Hashem is one of our parents. One of my Shana Aleph Rebbe and I were hanging out, and we were talking about parenting and raising children and teaching and all that in general. And he brought up like this Gemara, like what do we make with the idea that Hashem is one of our parents, that he's a partner in parenting? So he says, sometimes when we really struggle with our children, we do have the option to turn to God and say, God, I'm trying my hardest, but you're a third of this child's parenting team. So at this point in time, I'm taking a step back and I'm leaving this up to you to do. And I felt that, anybody that raises children has moments like that. And there is a comforting thought in knowing that it's not that God is looking over our shoulder and saying, you could do better, but rather that God is part of the process. And sometimes we have to turn to God and say, this one's on you. Okay. Let's take a look at the Sfarno. The Sfarno says, "Mani yarichun yamecha, ilu chamisha dibrot, b'shmiratan yarichun yamecha." Interesting that he uses the word dibrot, not dvarim. So I guess the Sfarno didn't go to Flatbush. So the chamish, he says the five dibrot, b'shmiratan yarichun yamecha. So he says, "Mani yarichun yamecha," which I think you could also address on the words asher Hashem lokecha, is actually a summary of the first five dibrot. Right? So if a person keeps the first five dibrot, so then they get arichut yamim ala adama asher Hashem lokecha noten lach. Now that actually, I just thought that perhaps the way you could read it a little bit differently is that rather than saying you're going, which David maybe answers your question, it doesn't mean that a person who keeps the five dibrot is going to live to be 120. And if you don't believe in God, or you don't respect God and you don't respect your parents, the person's going to die prematurely. But perhaps we're talking about, in order for the Jewish people to be sovereign and living successfully on the land of Israel, the only way to do that is by keeping these first five dibrot, which I think historically is accurate. When the Jewish people believe in God and do good things, their stay in Israel is longer. So that's a possible answer. I saw a beautiful idea by Rabbi Hatton on the Jewish people's relationship with the land of Israel this week. It kind of like got, sometimes things don't make the, they get a cut from the amount of stuff that could fit into one Sefer Yehoshua shir. So that didn't make it in. But he does say that, man, that just totally popped out of my head. It's a good idea. All right, if I remember, I'll come back to it. If not, it got cut from this shir also. He talks about how the individual of the Jewish people is not guaranteed eternity. So while it's true that Jewish people have been persecuted, Jewish people have been killed for years, but the eternity of the Jewish people is in its being a nation. So perhaps you can like suggest the same thing, like the Jewish people as a nation will continue to live, but we do hope that the nation will be able to live al ha'adama. That part is not a guarantee. There will be Jews, no matter what, somewhere in some far-flung corner of the world, but there's no guarantee that they will be al ha'adama. How do you make sure that you're al ha'adama? So, l'man yarichun yamecha, you want to have a long time here, keep these first five dibrot. That's an interesting point by the Sfarno. Let's take a look at a Gemara that we're probably all very familiar with. It's a Gemara that we probably have learned for outside, if not inside, for a very long time. So, Bo Minei Rav Ula, Ad Heichon Kibud Avaim. So they asked, how far does one have to go to be doing Kibud Avaim? Amar lahem, Tzuru Masa Nachri Yachad Be'Ashkelon. Look at the story of a famous non-Jew in Ashkelon. Now, isn't it amazing that the Gemara, when it's talking about Kibud Avaim, instead of finding an example of a Jew, finds an example of a non-Jew. Chazal also talked about who was one of the greatest people to be to do Kibud Avaim in the Torah. Esav, not exactly a paradigm of virtue. So it seems like the Gemara's audience is not just Jews, but it's a universal lesson. So the question is, what is the Gemara trying to teach us? So let's take a look at this story. V'dama ben Netina shmo. Dama ben Netina was his name. Pam acha bikshu chacham in pragmatia. V'shishim ribo schar. So the rabbis met with Dama ben Netina to do 600,000 something of money, of business. Problem was that the key to his safe to get whatever he needed to do business was under his father's head. He did not bother him to wake him up. Now it's funny because I feel like, at least for my father, if the key to making $600,000 was underneath my father's head and he was sleeping, my father would be very disappointed at me if I didn't wake him up, right? I don't know. I guess everybody has their own, you know, could have their own thoughts and take on that. But David and Tina did not wake up his father. So Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shalot Rebbe Lazar, Heichan Kibud Avaim, Amar Lan Tzuru Masa Nachri Yechad Aviv Bashkol, David and Tina Shmuel, Bikshu Min HaChacham Evanim Le'efod. Okay, so it's a different possibility. There's two versions of the story. One was that they wanted to just do stam business. And the other one is that one of the stones on the ephod was lost. And they came to Dama ben Netina and they wanted to spend 600,000 units of money on it. And again, he didn't bother his father. Of Kahana Matni Bishmo Nimribo. It's not 600,000, it's 800,000. And they didn't bother him. L'shana acheret, the following year, what happened? So he ends up having a para aduma in his flock. So he says something fascinating to them. He says, I know that the paraduma is so valuable and so rare to you that I can name any price. And any price I give you, you'll pay. But ain't any mevakesh mikem ela oto mamon shivsadi v'kvod abba. All I'm going to do is ask for the 600 or 800,000 that I lost out by not waking up my father. Now, fascinating in this Gemara is that the rabbis must have found someone else to do business with so quickly that if by a few hours later they couldn't find Dabam and Asina, be like, oh, or Dabam and Asina couldn't find them, be like, oh, my dad is up. I have the key. Here's the stone. Because it seems like a year later he had not done business with them. And he gets his money back by the Parah Aduma. Okay? But maybe not. Maybe he actually did business with them and they viewed it as an additional reward. Now, the Gemara then goes on later on and says, Rav Dimi then relates the following. He says that Dabam and Asina was wearing a sirkon shel zahav. He was wearing this fancy golden hat, Vaya Yoshev ben Gdoli Romi, and he was sitting amongst the elders, the greats of Rome. Uvata imo, and his mother came ukratu mimenu. She ripped off his hat, v'tafchalo al rosho, and slammed it on his head, v'yarkalo befanav, and spat in his face, v'lo hichlima. And he didn't say anything to her, he didn't do anything, there was no reaction. Okay, so it's a fascinating Gemara. What exactly does this Gemara mean? Right? Why the first part, and how about the second part? How do they go? So one of the Tuesday night boys that I learned with, so he suggested that it's proof that Dabam ben Asina's mother was mentally disabled, and the fact that he does not react is a testament to how great of a person he was. And perhaps even the fact that his father was sleeping, maybe he also had his mental health issues. And so the fact that Dabam ben Asina goes to such lengths to respect his father and his mother despite their challenges is noble. So that's one answer, which I'm not going to say is incorrect, but I think Rabbi Lam has an unbelievable answer. He says, what's the centerpiece of this whole Gemara is the Parah Aduma. His reward is a Parah Aduma. So Rabbi Lam says, if one wants to live a life of Parah Aduma, if one wants to live a life of holiness, one must understand that the keys to holiness, the keys to one's religious and spiritual success, lays beneath his parents' head. Meaning, our parents are the past, and to be connected to a glorious past that goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that all is possessed in a, or it's in a safe place in our parents' homes and our parents' heads. And so, if we want to be successful in our future, it lies in respecting our past. That, says Rabbi Lam, is the core of the Gemara. If you want to reach Parah Aduma, you have to respect the past. So he says, then, but how do we understand the second part of the Gemara? So he says that what happened was, he actually, Dabam ben Asina decided that he was going to hang with the fast crowd. He's going to be with the cool people in Rome. The Romans were not known for being good people. The Gedolei Romi might have been brilliant people. They might have been powerful people. But from the moral and the good-hearted people, likely that they were not. He started hanging out with that crowd, and his mother saw that he all of a sudden had a new value. Instead of valuing what was underneath his father's head, he started following the sirkon shel zahav, the gold. So she takes the hat, she smashes it on him, spits in his face, and says, if this is the philosophy that you are now embracing, you're not the child that you once were. And the fact that he doesn't respond, he just takes it, means that he accepts it, and he once again goes back to his thinking from beforehand. That, says Rabbi Lam, is the essence of Kibbud Av V'Em. It's an acknowledgement of the rich past that our parents offer us and what it does for us for the future. I'll end with a beautiful idea by the Bechor Shor. The Bechor Shor, I think, gives an idea of also How do we understand Kibud Av V'Aim? So he says, Kavod Avicha Ve'et Imecha, Afal Pi Shamarti L'cha Lo Tichbad V'Tavod Kimoti, even though I have told you that you cannot respect or worship anybody but me, Avicha V'Imecha Kavod V'Lo Tishkach Kol Gmuleyem Kihim Hevichu La'olam V'Gamlucha Ad Shanaseh Gadol. Right? Human beings are different than animals. Animals, when they're just a few moments old, are already independent. They can live on their own. Not the case with human beings. Our parents nurture us and take care of us. And so the core of Kibud Av V'Aim is the idea of Hakar Satov. We're being makir tov to everything that our parents give us. And because of them, they bring us to Olam Hazeh and ultimately to Olam Haba. I'll end just very, very, very quickly by summing up the other article that Rabbi Lam has, which is in general on the Aseres HaDibros, but I think it speaks volumes to Kibud Av V'Aim. Kibud Av V'Aim is just a few words, and yet we can see from this from these sources how much is buried within them. He says, why is it that the Jewish people don't make a big deal about the Aseres HaDibros, even though there was a time when the Aseres HaDibros were recited daily? We don't do that anymore. But in general, we don't make a big deal of the Aseres HaDibros, other than the fact that we read it three times a year and that maybe we stand up for it, which is a good halachic question. We don't make a big deal of the Aseres HaDibros. So he says, why is that? So he says that the Aseres HaDibros are essentially it's like a quick fix. 10 ways to make friends, 10 ways to be successful, 10 ways to rule the world, 10 ways to have a good life. That's essentially what people view the Aseres HaDibros as. But just as Kibud Av V'Aim, and it's very few short words, there is so much depth to it. It's the same thing with the Aseres HaDibros. The Aseres HaDibros are really just a keyhole into the other 603 mitzvot. And anybody that feels otherwise is cheapening Judaism and is taking away from what the greatness of the Aseres HaDibros are. And so perhaps the Parsha of Yisro is just an introduction to the Torah, but yet so many other religions and so many people view it as an end to itself, and yet we view it more as a window into the depths of the Torah. Have a wonderful Shabbos.